Matthew chapter 17. And I know it's been a longer service. We took the Lord's Supper, and I just want to let you know I know what time it is. Thank you. I didn't say we'll go slower. I don't anticipate being real long, but it's very important what we're going to talk about tonight, and I think it'll help us with where we're at with our church going forward, particularly with our building. Matthew chapter 17, let's look at verse number 14. We'll read through verse 21, we'll pray, and then we'll let you be seated. And when they had come to the multitude, verse 14, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I know what that's all about. How many of you can testify you're there? Okay, good. I think they all are. And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now here's the key verse we want to kind of, the thought that we want to be in our mind tonight. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray, and I'll let you be seated. Father, again, we thank you for all that's happened up to this point in our service, the songs we sang, the specials we heard, the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. And Father, we've had a wonderful day. And I pray, Lord, in these few minutes here as we end our time together, that you would help us to be focused in, tuned in to what you have for us, Lord, a very important concept and thought to help us as we go forward from here to complete that which you have us to do. Help us to get what we need from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you the background on the story here. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down to find his other 9 disciples being questioned by the scribes. Several months ago when we were talking about prayer, we talked about the man who said, I have faith, help my unbelief. I don't know if you remember that. That this is the same story. This is in Matthew, the same story here. And at that time, we read that. And so he comes down. The scribes are questioning them. They're debating with his 9 disciples. In their midst was this man who had brought his son to be healed by the disciples. And yet they could not heal him. The 9 that were still down there, not the 3 that went with Christ to the Mount of Transfiguration, the other 9 were down there, and they could not heal this child. Maybe the scribes had noticed their inability. You have the disciples here. You have the man whose child is over here who they couldn't heal. And then you have the scribes over here questioning them. So it's kind of a chaotic situation. And Christ comes down. Why this whole thing is going on, the arguing with the disciples, the father here, the son that needs help. Here is a son that is being demonized and terrorized, and the demon is doing all but killing him. If you read the other accounts of the story in the other Gospels, bad things were happening to this child. Matthew describes him as a lunatic. Some say that think that he was having some type of seizures that this demon was making him go through. Mark describes him as a deaf mute that often fell to the ground, foaming at the mouth and grinding his teeth. Luke says that he would scream and go into convulsions was out of control. The point I want you to get is this was not your average case. This young boy was in a bad way. And yet when they came to the disciples, there was nothing they can do about it. It was a tough decision that called for more dramatic action. It needed a little more than maybe some of the other situations. Jesus pointed out when the disciples asked why they could not help this man's child, he pointed out the problem. He saw their embarrassment in the situation. He saw they were questioned by the scribes. He saw that there was a man nearby that they could not help. This child being tormented. They had a desire to help, but the disciples just couldn't do it. Jesus puts his finger on why they couldn't do it in verse 21. He says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." By the way, I don't do this typically. I want to quote that verse to you out of the NIV. Is that okay? Here's what that says in the NIV. They took it out. It's not there. I was reading a commentary, listening to a commentary of somebody about these verses, just to kind of, you know, I do that sometimes, make sure I'm not in left field. And he was getting on the church for being powerless. And then when he got to verse 21, he said, "I don't believe that verse is in the Bible." Maybe that's why the church is powerless. That's the key right there. This kind cometh forth but by prayer and fasting. It needs a little bit more. We need to depend on God. It was a serious situation. Mark chapter 9, verse 29, the same story in the other gospel. And he said unto them, "This kind can't come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting." What they had was a serious situation. It would take more. What they had was a this kind situation on their hands. And they needed more of God. If we're going to be average and just do the average, then we don't need this kind. If our church is just going to float by, if we're just going to just do what we've always done, be satisfied with where we're at, stay where we're at, see nothing miraculous happen, see, as Romero mentioned, how we're making a dent in Satan's territory. If we're not going to do stuff like that, then we don't need this kind. We can get by without it. We don't want to be an average church. We don't want to do average things. We just don't want to do what every other. And by the way, it's not a comparison thing. We're not comparing ourselves to any other church. We're not better than any other church. But our church is responsible for what we're supposed to do. We're not responsible for what the other churches do. And we're for the other churches. But we have to worry about what God has for us here. And we need to get something accomplished, but we can't do it. We have a this kind situation. By the way, we don't want to do things that can be accomplished without God. There's a lot going on in our society that can be accomplished without God. I mean, slick marketing and all that stuff. And by the way, I'm not against, we ought to make sure that everything we do is first class. Yeah, I go to websites sometimes and I'm like, brother, that looks like 1995. Okay, we can upgrade a little. But it's not just about slick marketing. Okay, it's about having God's power and having God's hand on what we're doing here. We don't, look, if it's something we can explain what's going on, then God doesn't get the glory. Okay? So, you know, how did your church do that? Well, let me explain to you the 12 steps how we did it. Well, let me explain to you the one step. I have no idea. God did it. Now, that doesn't mean we're irresponsible. God wants us to work as hard as we can. God wants us to focus and do the things we're supposed to do. But when it's all said and done, how did that happen? I have no idea. God did it. And that's what we're looking for. But it isn't going to happen if we can do it in our own power. We have a this kind situation. Where we're at with our church, what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do, particularly in a lot of things, we have Easter coming up, we have spring program on a regular basis, we run buses, we go out soul winning, we're trying to do all kinds of things, and we're trying to get that building finished. We have to get that building done. We have, it has to get done. And it needs effort, and it needs finances. But where is that all going to come from? We have a this kind situation. We need God to help us to get it done. Let's look at several things from the story tonight. Let's just walk through the story. I want you to notice, number one, that there's a plea for help. A plea for help. And when I'm talking about help, I'm talking about real spiritual transformation, not just some type of humanitarian aid. And by the way, I'm not against humanitarian aid, but God hasn't called us to be that, for that to be the thrust of our ministry, the thrust of what we're doing. I'm not against it. And we ought to help people that we can, especially those of the household of faith, but that's not our driving force. Ours is to see people spiritually transformed. And that takes God's power. This man came, he had a plea for help. There are millions around us that they may not come to us with that plea for help, but if we see them and we have any spiritual common sense, we see that there are needs everywhere we go. I want you to notice the man's request. He said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. For oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water." This man desperately wanted help for his son. It wasn't some small thing. He was at his wit's end. And he came to him and said, "I got to have help. My son needs this." By the way, people are out there all the time. Sometimes we meet people who are very self-sufficient. "Well, you know, I got everything together. I don't need God." There will come a time when they do need God. But there are people out there that are in situations of life, and they don't know what the next step is, and they don't know what to do. And they may not say it outwardly, but there's a plea for help, and we better have something spiritually to give them. There's a plea for help. I also want you to see the disciples' result. "And I brought them unto thy disciples, and they could not help him." They could not cure him. You ever been there? You're trying to help somebody. You're trying to get through a situation. You just feel like, I'm over my head here. By the way, if you're going to help someone spiritually, you're always over your head. That's why we need God to do something. The disciples felt powerless. Understand this. What we're trying to do here is God's work. It's his work. Now, he uses people, but ultimately it's his work. And so if his work is going to be accomplished through us, it's got to be with his power. We just don't have it. We need God to use it through us, but it's not us. We have no, you know, people come in and say, "I have this problem," and they think we can open our desk and there's some kind of magic dust we can pull out and like, poof. Now go and live happily ever after. By the way, life isn't a fairy tale. Okay? And all these little sweet couples, Cinderella and Snow White and all them, they live happily ever after. You know, they started having kids. Okay? Cinderella went through menopause. It happened. Okay? She put on a few pounds. Yeah. And the slippers didn't fit anymore because her toes were too fat. Okay? Can I just tell you something? Happily ever after is a myth. Okay? You got to fight through it. I didn't mean to mess up your theology there with that. But there is no magic spoofle dust. We need help. By the way, it sounds like the modern Christianity today, we're good at drawing crowds, but we're not very good at dispensing cures. We can get the crowds there, but we got nothing to give them. You can do all kinds of nonsense. We could change our music, and we'll draw a big crowd. But if we don't have the Spirit of God here, what are they here for? Are they getting any help? Isn't our goal to see spiritual transformation that happens on the inside? We also see, underneath this plea for help, we see the Lord's rebuke. Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me." Jesus' first response is one of sorrow. He almost sounds frustrated. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And I think he did it to teach them a lesson. But he's like, bring him over here. He rebukes their lack of faith. Maybe in their hearts they really felt this situation was a little bit too much for them. By the way, they probably should have went to Jesus right away instead of having a man to go to Jesus and then go to Jesus afterwards. But the Lord rebukes them. I wonder how Jesus feels when he looks at us today. I don't want Jesus to look at our church and say, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" By the way, one good thing, and everything's not about money, but over the next month and a half, we're thinking about it. We're praying about it. But one good thing about giving is it stretches your faith. Romero said it. It's difficult. It's difficult for everybody. Okay, my pockets aren't lined with money. In fact, they got lint. Okay, my wife has me on a good financial diet. I don't get to carry money. It's a struggle for everybody. But you know what? When we believe God to do something great and do more than we probably could just looking at our budget, our faith is stretched. It's okay. It's good for us. So we saw the Lord's rebuke. Secondly, I want you to notice the power of hope. The power of hope. I hope you caught that last phrase in Jesus' rebuke. How long shall I suffer you? Here's the next phrase. Bring him to me. Bingo. There's the hope. He gets on the disciples. Could you imagine the father? He didn't want to sit there and hear Jesus rebuke the disciples. His son is getting killed. And he probably is sitting there listening to all this, and then he hears Jesus say, bring him to me. And he's probably thinking, now we're talking. Now the good stuff's going to happen. He wanted his son. That's probably the first positive thing that the father heard. Bring him to me. He didn't care about this. You know, he's sitting here watching the scribes. They're having a theological debate, and he's like, theological debate? My son is being killed by a demon. Can somebody do something here? They were probably debating on the possibility of miracles in our dispensation. I could care less what you're arguing about. My son's being killed here. He didn't care that the disciples were being chastised by Christ. He wanted his son helped. Jesus says, bring him to me. What's this hope come from? Well, I want you to notice that the Savior spoke. And Jesus rebuked the devil. There you got it. As soon as Stephen, bring him over here. Let me get on the demon. He's like, here we go. It's going to happen. Listen, the power doesn't come from us. The power comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes primarily through the Spirit using his word. You want to see somebody cured of the problems in their life, in all the situations of life, they better get God's word, have something for the Spirit of God to use to transform them. Oh, you know, I have a little formula I can follow. If your formula is not straight from the Bible, your formula is worthless. Dr. Phil's not helping anybody. Oprah's not helping anybody. She's just lining her pockets. Okay, the scripture has the answer. And the Savior spoke, and it's like, bingo, it's happening now because the Savior's speaking. By the way, he's still speaking to us today. Remember, that's power is in his word, not in ours. By the way, I think we forget that sometimes. I've heard people say, the answer for America is preaching. I disagree with that 1,000%. God has never promised to bless preaching. He's promised to bless the preaching of his word. So we better stick to the book. There's churches all over where someone's getting up and giving a message. Okay, you know what the key word is now? Oh, you know, the pastor at our church, he's a really good communicator. La-di-da. I don't want a communicator. I want the answer. I don't care how you give it to me, give it to me. Give it to me now. We also see that the demons depart, and he departed out of him. It was a difficult situation, but there could be some help. Hey, I don't care what people are going through when you come into church. Let me just tell you something. I don't care what you're going through tonight. There's hope. There's hope. Are you alive still? There's hope. Oh, but you don't understand what's going on in my marriage. There's hope. Well, you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand what's going on at work. There's hope. But it has to come from God. The demons depart. See, we cannot get God's results man's way, especially when you're dealing in the area of satanic power. I love this story in Acts. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. I love this story. Acts chapter 19, we'll look at verse 13. Stay with me. We'll get going here. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So these guys heard Paul talking about Jesus and seeing the stuff being done. They're like, I want to use that. That's where the power is. The power is in that name, so let me use that. I'm going to try that. Okay, we're going to see how this works. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. So these seven kids get together, seven sons get together. We're going to have an exorcism. We've heard Paul talk about this. Let's see if this will work for us. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Can you imagine that? I don't know if they jumped up on a table. They surrounded the man that was demon-possessed and said, Paul's talking about Jesus, and so the same Jesus Paul's talking about, get out of him. I know this Jesus. I know who Jesus is. Oh, yeah, we know who Jesus is. And I've seen Paul around. Yeah, I know who Paul is. That's Jesus' servant. Who are you guys? That was probably a sign that things were about to go bad. That was probably the sign, like, grab the parachute and head for the exit. Okay, what happens? And the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. And they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I guess the vernacular would be, they got the beat down. Okay, this one guy, demon-possessed, beat all seven of them, took their clothes off of them, and sent them packing. You know why? There was no power behind what they were doing. By the way, don't just believe something because someone throws the name Jesus on it. You might want to make sure it actually is from Jesus. Why do you make sure it's from Jesus? Well, go back to the first step. Jesus spoke. Most of the stuff going on in churches has nothing to do with God. It's what we call pragmatism. Pragmatism is, well, if it works and it draws a crowd, it's okay, it's right. No, it isn't. Right's what the Bible says. If not, you might get beat up and you might be running around with no clothes on. Demons depart. We see the child is cured. And the child was cured from that very hour. All the nonsense, all the drama, all the pain the boy and his family endured, but now it's over. He's healed. You know, isn't that the exciting thing about a church that's going forward? We have the little testimonies that are in the Pacific Baptist Times. You can subscribe to it online. It's quarter a sheet. Just kidding. But you know what that is? It's people being helped. By the way, many of you in here, you could get up and give the same story. Isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that why we're giving our, look, if that's not what we're going to see, why don't we just go home and watch the final four? Why come to church? Why come to church when it's a Super Bowl? Let's just stay home and watch the Super Bowl. If no one's being helped, if God isn't doing anything, why be here? Can I just tell you something? God's doing something. And God wants to do something, but we're just not taking it seriously. The last thing is this. The prayer for healing. The prayer for healing. And this is really what I want you to focus on. Get this thought in a minute. I'm going to give you a couple things. We're going to pass out a little card I want you to take with you, and we'll be done. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast these out? The disciples are a bit deflated and want to know why they didn't have what they needed to get the job done. Now, there's a couple verses in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They really should have been able to do that, but they were lacking. And by the way, when we're lacking, we want to get what we need. We want to find out how we can get that power that we need. The whole message tonight, we don't have what it takes to get the job done either. Let's tell you that right now. We don't. We have a job. Okay? You know, get the gospel to the whole world. Are you serious? Go find people whose lives are a wreck and they're addicted to whatever it is and help them to get over that. Really? See a family that's broken apart like many of you in here maybe have experienced that in the past and have God do something to that family and bring it back together and see a miracle happen. Wow, how does that happen? God wants to do that. God can do that. And only God can do that. That's what we want to see. We're attempting to do great things in this church, planting churches, reaching our city and our surrounding areas with the gospel, send out missions teams, get some teams into China, get the building finished and up and functioning, and have a great offering on May 18th. And I could just throw in 100 other things, a great Easter, okay? It's nice. Look, if I had us all stand up, how many of us, you know, were here, we could go through it. How many of us were here in the original building on that first Sunday? We met one Sunday over in the park. Okay, there'd just be a handful of us. How many of us started to come into church when we met over on the walk with the Walk With Me Church of God in Christ? Say that fast three times. How, you know, and there would be a little bigger group would stand up. And then we would say, how many of you were with us when we joined our church when we were at the condemned building over on Long Beach Boulevard? Now, that probably wouldn't add that much to the crowd because that building needed to be condemned 2 years before we ever met there. How many of you started coming to our church when we were meeting outside over on Anaheim? We'd probably have a good group stand up there. And then how many of you started to come to church for the 6 years we were over on Pacific Avenue? We would have a group stand up there. That would, and then the rest of the group would stand up and we said, how many of you started coming when we were here on Pacific, when we were here on Magnolia? Everywhere we go, there's a new group that comes in. What we need to look forward to is there'll be a group of people when we get into that building that we don't even know now that will be sitting here with us, that will be our close, godly, spiritual friends, that their children will be in our school. They'll be serving in the ministry. They'll be going to our college. They might even be part of some of our missions team, and we don't even know them yet. They haven't been reached. It's out there. How are we going to do that? Well, let me give you three things under the prayer for healing. First of all, we need the prayer of faith. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove thence into yonder place, and it shall remove. See, it was unbelief or no faith or a lack of faith that was the heart of the issue. By the way, we face that today. You say, how do we have a lack of faith? Let me just say this. If we're not praying, we're doing it because we don't have faith. We really don't believe that which we say we believe. You see, most of us positionally we're Christians, but practically we're atheists. Practically we are. What does that mean? We're saved. We're in God's family. We're a part of God's forever team. But yet when it comes to how that functions out in our daily life, it doesn't happen. We read our Bible just about as much as an unsaved person would. We pray probably less than an unsaved person would, or the same amount. Why? We just don't have faith. If we really believed it, it would make a difference in our life. Do we have faith? Lip service doesn't get it done. Lip service got those seven brothers beat up. They didn't need lip service. When you're dealing with something like that, they needed God to do something there. Or they needed to run faster or something along those lines. If not, if we don't have that kind of power, we just continue to go about doing our own thing in our own strength. We may have some watered down results, but we don't have a this kind. And by the way, when he talks about faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he's not talking just only about the size. In other words, we don't have to have great faith. By the way, when we talk about prayer and faith, there's certain things you talk about, and it's like no one can talk about it like, I've got this covered. You get up and talk about being a husband and being a father and all that. That's no one's an expert on that because our family knows what we're like. We get up and talk about prayer like, you know, I got this covered. It's hard for all of us. But we got to do it. And we got to be faithful to it. And we got to be regular to it. And so it's small. He doesn't want a lot. But it also is talking about using the analogy of that faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's living. And it grows. Remember, in the other Gospels, when it talks about this father, he says, I believe, help thou my. He didn't have a lot of belief, but he says, I have some unbelief here, but I have a little and I want to go forward. Our faith grows. So, well, I have a little bit of faith. That's okay. It's like a mustard seed. It's planted. And if it's living and you're serving God and you're loving God and you're in his word, it'll grow. But it only grows as you exercise and you use it. So the prayer of faith. Believing that God can do that which he says he can do. It's also a prayer of feasibility. He says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, that doesn't just give us carte blanche to do whatever we want. Well, good, nothing's impossible. I'll do whatever I want. No. It means nothing within inside of God's will is impossible to you. What God wants to accomplish, it's possible. God says we're supposed to do something. By the very fact that he tells us to do it means we can do it. We'll need his power, but guess what? Nothing's impossible. If we have prayer and we have faith, God moves mountains or can move mountains. but it's in relation to our faith. And then the last thing is this, the prayer of fasting. He says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It takes a little bit more. You see, if you want to see great, great, great results, we got to do more. It's more than prayer. It involves prayer and fasting. There's a reason we put those prayer sheets out there. We want God to do great things here, but it's not going to just happen on our own. Well, you know, we have great personality. Okay, wonderful. But God only accomplishes it through prayer and fasting. We're not in a regular situation right now. We got a lot going on. And we got that building. It has to be done. How is God going to do that? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It's daunting. I want to walk over there every day and take a look and major things are done. It takes time. And we're going forward. And it takes finances. Where's that all going to come from? We have a this kind situation. And we need the church to get on board. Yes, we're giving. That's great. Yes, we are working over there, and that's great. But we need to pray and fast. And I encourage you to do that. This kind. Over the next few months, let's get a hold of this thing. Let's get on that list every month. Let's take that day. By the way, fasting is just a way of telling God, hey, I'm serious about this. This isn't just now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay, wonderful. You might as well throw some Hail Marys in there, swing the beads. That's fine. Okay, this is serious stuff. And God wants to know we're serious. Now, ushers, can we get the ushers for a second, get those cards? What I want you to do, we're going to pass these cards out. I'm going to go over these 10 things I want you to remember and think about in relation to this kind over the next, particularly month and a half, when it comes to now until our building offering. Okay? If you can help us with that. Can we get a piano player? Thanks, Jed. We'll pass these out. I want everybody to have one. Okay? Let's play for a second. Everybody have one. This kind 10 request I want you to hang on to. We'll go through this. And I want you to make it a matter of prayer. Everybody get one of these. Get some help and pass them down the line. Just go ahead and put a little handful down. Not less, if you count them, it's going to take a little bit while. Do we have some out on the patio, fellas? Good. Okay. Did we get some in this section here? Who doesn't have one yet? Okay, this section needs them. Okay, thank you, Jed. Here's what we want over the next, just to put this on your list. Number one, put the completion of the building on your prayer list. Okay, put the completion of the building. There's so much involved with getting the building done. And really, the way we're doing the building, we're trying to be frugal with God's resources. We're trying to do everything we can on our end. But you know what? We need God to get involved with this. We've come so far, and we are so close, but we want God to help us get to the finish line. So do me a favor. Put the completion of the building on your prayer list. You say, I don't have a prayer list. Okay, number 1A, get a prayer list. Okay? You say, man, this whole prayer thing, I struggle with it. Everybody struggles with it. Okay? It's not a natural thing to humble ourselves and get down before God, but it's something we got to do. And so let's do it. Put the completion of the building on your prayer list. Number two, make it a matter of daily prayer. By the way, whose building is it? It's his. Whose work is going to be done in that building? It's his. And so we want him to help us, and like he already has. Number three, pray about what God wants you to give on May 18th and in weekly, monthly commitments. You say, oh, you're just putting it on there so you can say it again. No. Because I realize if you get a hold of God in this whole thing, you'd be surprised what you can do. You'll do more than you think. Why? Because God blesses that faith. God, what do you want me to give? Now, you may have a number in your mind, say, Lord, that's the number I have. Help me to get that. And you'd be surprised what God would do. Remember, it is true. God will give more through you than he would give to you. If it's his building and he wants it done and he wants to provide through his people, he'll provide for you to be able to give to the building. Number four, pray for God's provisions for you to give in the building. And that's kind of the same thing. God, I want to give. Help provide. Help me see where I can do this. Number five, every month sign up for the prayer and fasting day list and fulfill it. I think there's a little sheet of paper there, and you can kind of write your day in there and take that with you. But it's nice that every day of the month we have at least one, and there's typically two or three, that would be great, people in the church that are praying and fasting on that day for our church. That's going before God, saying, God, this is more important than food to me today. I want you to do something through our church. Number six, believe that God will do something special to help us get the building built. And by the way, he has. We have so many little miracles, and we don't mention them enough. This company gave this, or we had all these bids over here, and then boom, all of a sudden, here comes another bid that's 20% less than any of them. Well, that's God doing that, okay? Let's believe that God can do something special. Believe that God will do something special on May 18th with the building offering and commitments. Number eight, believe that God will provide for you personally to be part of the building offering. And God always provides. Whenever we set a number, we always go over that, to be honest with you. There was one time we didn't, and I kind of threw a number out there, and we had just moved into our house, and we had equity line of credit. And to be honest with you, I wasn't as spiritual as I should have been praying for more. I just said, I'll take the $5,000 out of the equity line of credit, and I'll just do that. And I did. And then the next month, I'm like, I ain't doing that anymore. I want God to provide for me. And you know what? He provided more. So pray about that. Believe that God will. Stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible. We must allow God to speak to us, and his word is where we get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we speak to God, but don't we want God to speak to us? It's a two-way relationship. It's two-way communication. And then number 10, be a part of the week of prayer and fasting in May. Right before our building offer, we'll have 1 week where we're asking everybody to have a time slot where they pray. And so we have all that week prayer. And then there's one day, I think it's Wednesday of that week, where it's a corporate day of fasting. Be a part of that. Just make that, I'm going to be a part of what's going on. Why? Because what we have going on here is something that can only be accomplished through God's power. And we need God to do something. And that comes in answer to our earnest prayer and fasting. Let's all stand together.